understand you can't listen to all 4 hours of the show. That's why we have Scheman and Shepherd on demand. Download us whenever at 993ESPN.com or on iTunes. This is Scheman and Shepherd on 993 ESPN.
Scheman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. I will not yeehaw this country music song because I actually like it. All my exes live in Texas. That's why I hang my hat in Tennessee. I could not. Is it Hank Williams by any chance? No, who
George Strait.
George Strait?
Same. Yeah. It's not the same thing. It's not even close to the same thing. I mean, I guess it's close in the sense that it's all country, but it's not.
Yeah. Super twangy. It's one of the few super twangy songs that I like.
George Strait, he's been around a while.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a multi-decade run that he's had.
Yeah.
What, 80s to... He still puts out some music.
Is that the one your wife likes, or she like
Oh, my wife's a big fan of George Strait.
Okay.
Like, weird.
Really?
Weird.
Why is that?
I don't know.
Is he a particularly handsome dude?
No, he's a good-looking guy. He's also like 70.
Good-looking 70-year-old dude.
Yeah, she's got this weird obsession with him. I don't know, but it's probably why she went after me, because I look so old and distinguished.
You look 10. Let's be honest, you look 10. All right, very good. All right, maybe Rick Hora around the corner. Time now for a Sports Center rundown. Here's Babyface Chris. What happened?
It's my fault.
What?
It was my fault. I mean, I'll shoulder it. It's my fault.
All right.
You're going to have to give me 1 second, professional.
If you need me to fill, I am a professional wordsmith. I craft words for...
No, that was our Boston Red Sox promo.
Oh. Well, that's not what I wanted.
Here we go.
Okay, here we go.
Hey! It worked. All right, NHL playoff action. Sorry, Stanley Cup playoff action going on. Blue Jackets up on the Bolts 2-1. Second intermission there. Lightning lead that series 1-0. We got some daytime baseball going on. Mets defeat the Nationals 8-2. We're in a rain delay in Philly. Philly's hosting the Orioles, and the Rays and Red Sox are going to the second inning. My scoreboard lows. I believe that the Red Sox are up on the Rays 2-3. 3-2.
Thank you. Very good. Nighthawk accusing me of being broad brush Craig. Instead of 5 o'clock hot takes, Craig should intentionally paint things with a broad brush this hour. There's a chance I will do that.
Probably.
Was he referring to my George Strait / Garth Brooks comment, I suppose?
Oh, I was right. Red Sox up on the Rays 3-2.
All right. All right, let's speed dial Rick. We'll see if we have him. If not, I have plenty of other stuff to get to. The ACC presidents got together at 4:30 today. I presume they are still together to discuss what to do with the upcoming football season. Again, as of right now, they're all in and playing. Their conference plus one, the SEC, the Big 12. And apparently there will be some sort of championship, which Dabo Swinney says that, you know, it still counts. We'll get to all that in just a little bit as well. Also, before we leave the airwaves, I have to share with you some comments from baseball. Joe Kelly, former Dodger pitcher, who was suspended for throwing at the Astros and making faces at them and all that kind of stuff. Gold stuff, gold. So we'll have all that coming up here. A lot of NFL stuff. We were talking about Jerry Jones earlier. Oh, by the way, one other side thing to Jerry Jones. He was asked about the national anthem. He says he has a national anthem policy in place for his team and that it will be graceful, but he would not say what it is, which means he doesn't have a national anthem policy, most likely. So, anyway, lots of stuff going on in the NFL. Rick Hora, our sports business guru, the business side of sports, is with us right now. Rick, how are you?
I'm in your neighborhood. Actually, I'm in Sarasota.
Oh, okay.
I'm taking off in about 9 minutes, so you better be quick. What do you want?
Oh, I got 9 minutes? All right. All right, let's get to it then.
How are you?
I'm very good, thank you. Earlier today, we had Jay Williams on. I know you're a humongous Duke basketball fan.
And a Jay Williams fan.
Yeah, and he's about ready to be the new morning show at ESPN Radio. And when he came on, I asked him, I said, was Chris polite to you when he put you on the air, all the behind the scenes stuff? Because Chris is a Tar Heel apologist. And he went on to say that he, Jay Williams, loved the Tar Heels growing up, wanted to be a Tar Heel, was not recruited hard enough by Bill Guthridge, decided to go to Duke, loved Mike Krzyzewski, and then wanted to take out all his frustrations on North Carolina. But you came dangerously close to never having Jay Williams win a national championship for you back in the day.
Yeah, well, I've heard that story as well, and that's interesting. And, there are a lot of people who think that if you are supposed to go to North Carolina, you're destined to do it. You shouldn't even go to Duke. We got him. That's great. I'm a little concerned, by the way, of the season. I don't know what he told you about what this next season is. But if I'm a one-and-done recruit by Coach K or some of the other guys, only three or four coaches that matter is one-and-done, I may sit this season out entirely because I don't know when it's going to start, and I may want to go right to the NBA. Kind of the same thing with Greg Rousseau and a few of the NFL football players that we know. So what was his take on one-and-done guys in 2020?
Well, we didn't specifically talk about the one-and-dones as much as we did what basketball would look like moving forward, and we both assumed that it would be conference-only starting after January, but he had an interesting spin-off into the NBA, which really doesn't answer your question, how we would have many regional bubbles in the NBA. Because keep in mind, once this NBA season is over in October, we got to start back up for the next season in November, December, and this COVID thing's not going to be over yet. And so I'm asking him, are players going to be willing to go in a bubble again? And he goes, well, I think we'll have regional bubbles in certain areas, like all the Texas teams and so on and so forth. But no, I agree with you. If I'm a one and done, I don't play. Justin Fields, obviously, the quarterback at Ohio State, just lost his season because he's not. Maybe he'll play in the spring because I think he's got 2 years of eligibility. But the ACC presidents are meeting right now, and if the presidents come out and say, "Yeah, we're going to agree with the Big Ten and the Pac-12, and we're not going to play," there goes Trevor Lawrence, who he keeps wanting to play. These guys aren't going to play in the spring. That'd be ridiculous that close to the draft. But everything's messed up.
Yeah, I it's hard for me to imagine the ACC deciding not to play, but it's possible. Let's also remember that the SEC has 8 of the top 10 revenue-producing programs from football. It's over $130 to $150 million of the $200 million. Football is about 80% of the overall revenue. And, how are you going to fund the other 20 sports, plus the Title IX sports, if you don't attempt to generate TV revenue and you're the SEC? So the issue there is, what do you do to hold on? And I'm surprised if the ACC doesn't hold with the ACC. They may play some games between each other and all that. Who knows? But, it is interesting. It was pointed out to me today, and it kind of tells you everything. Iowa, Big Ten, not playing. Iowa State, Big 12, 50 miles away, playing.
Great point.
Is one safer than the other? No. It's two governing structures that are two different sets of results with one set of facts.
Yeah, that's
kind of weird.
Very weird, and a great point. The bottom line to why the Big Ten, like last Thursday, was releasing a schedule, and then by Saturday the president's got cold feet and they claim the myocarditis and lawsuits and all that. I wondered if it was more an argument that the Pac-12 and the Big Ten players were close to unionizing, therefore becoming employees, and then amateurism is dead forever. I think that's part of the equation. But why the quick, odd turnaround from the Big Ten in like a 3-day period last week?
Well, Kevin Warren's a friend. He ran the Minnesota Vikings. He's in the book. And this is his first major decision. So I have no idea why. I can't tell you, although he's a very thoughtful individual. It might have been the power teams, the Ohio States, the Michigan, saying, well, we don't want to do it this year. The liability, who knows what the decision was. But, at the end of the day, you've got all of these programs who have, basically lack of governance. I'm not sure Mark Evert, even if he was a strong leader, would have made the difference at the end of the day. But I sure would have liked to hear, wouldn't you, something out of the NCAA?
Yes. Would have loved begging for it. Begging for it.
Yeah.
I think it was you that pointed out the ratio of TV money for college football as compared to the rest of the money that comes in, tickets, concessions, parking, all that. Much different ratio than, say, the NFL, which is really heavily loaded on TV money. I'm kind of thinking forward to these spring teams, the Pac-12 and Big Ten. Maybe COVID is done. Maybe we've got vaccines. Maybe they've got fans in the stands. And I think we just lost his phone line. We did. Let's try and call him back. I think we just lost his line. I think he had trouble hearing me. And then he wouldn't have hung up and just gone, even though he only had a few minutes. Try and call him back one more time.
Can't use your plane on an air. Use your plane on a phone. Use your phone on a plane.
Oh, is he actually on a plane? He said he was in Sarasota.
He said he was taking off in 9 minutes.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought he was leaving in 9 minutes.
No, he said taking off in 9 minutes. And you heard him in the background going, oh.
Oh, okay. I didn't realize that he was on a plane.
If it drops, he'll call us back. I think he's on a plane. I think he gave you the Heisman.
Maybe he did. All right.
No, if that dropped, he calls back. Okay. He's really good at it. Even when he just doesn't pick up when I call him,
yeah,
he calls back.
Okay. All right. Very good. We don't want to get him in trouble.
Not with the
FAA.
Yeah.
You ever been to Sarasota Airport?
No, but I've is it Sarasota or Port Charlotte? I don't know. No, I haven't.
No.
No, I've been in this state, Fort Lauderdale, Miami, RSW, and
Tampa.
Uh-uh. Never been to Tampa? No. I always fly to the East Coast.
Tampa's not bad. I've been to Tampa, Miami, and Florida. Yeah, here in Fort Myers. And then I've been to Jacksonville.
Jacksonville is an airport?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. A little puddle jumper, a couple games.
I was going to say, being so close to Atlanta, 3 hours.
Yeah.
I mean, and then, but it's something like 50% of all air traffic goes through Atlanta or something crazy
right,
like that.
Right, right. Orlando's a nice airport. I've been there.
Never been there.
It's one of the finer airports, actually.
Huh.
Jacksonville, funny story with Jacksonville. I don't know why I was there.
Super Bowl.
Was it?
Okay, I don't know. I'm suggesting I wasn't there.
Yeah. I think it was Super Bowl. Because it did involve J-Dub when we were doing a radio show. James Washington, former Dallas Cowboy. We had a really early flight leaving. And it was one of those situations where you have a rental car. But if you have an early flight, you're showing up at the airport in your rental car before the rental car place is open. Right? And I believe, if I remember correctly, all the rental cars are off. Are they off campus? Maybe they're close to the airport because it was still dark. The sun didn't come up. The gates were across the parking lot. You could not return a car, but we had a 6 a.m. flight. So we were there like at 4 in the morning. And we literally did one of those. We just left the car like on a ditch on a little highway.
Really?
Right next, and then walked to the airport. What were we supposed to do? Where were we supposed to put the car? We had a flight to catch, and we were returning a car. Left the keys in it. Oh, no, we didn't. Here's what we did. I remember. Left the car in a ditch on a two-lane highway just around the corner from the rent-a-car place.
This had to be James's idea.
Yeah, yeah.
It had to have been.
I wouldn't have had the guts to do
it. I can't imagine you would have.
But I'm trying to remember, was the car in my name or his name? I'm a lot more cool with this plan if it's in his name,
right.
But it might have been in my name, and then I'm a little nervous about it. So then we go in to the airport where the desks are for the rent-a-car, Avis and Budget and all that stuff. I think we left the key fob on the desk with a note. Here's your key. Your car's in a ditch over on the highway about a quarter mile down the road. Thanks for doing business. And then we flew to Los Angeles.
This sounds like the scene from The Hangover where they steal the cop car.
Yeah.
And then the cops arrest them and go, oh, you stole the car and you left this note. Sorry, couldn't find a parking meter, but here's $5 written on a cocktail napkin.
Very close. Very close. Now, I'm just thinking how I was back in that day. And I got a... Maybe the car was in his name. Because I would
have had been.
I would have been so puckered, so tight about just doing that and having that whole car be my responsibility after we flew back to Los Angeles. But so, you know, when you're travel mode, you got to do what you got to do.
Got to do what you got to do, especially when there's air travel involved.
Yeah. So anyway, my little story about the Jacksonville. But it's a nice airport. Nice little, clean, tidy, little, small airport.
Hmm. Like RSW small?
No, much smaller.
Really?
Much smaller.
Huh.
Yeah.
Well, probably everything just flies to Atlanta and Charlotte. And from Atlanta and Charlotte, you can get anywhere in America.
Yeah. I'm trying to wonder if we did Atlanta to Jacksonville, if it was for the Super Bowl.
Why else would you be going to Jacksonville?
A couple of years, we broadcast from the Daytona 500. And 1 year, we flew into Orlando. There's a nonstop from L.A. to Orlando. But I'm wondering if we flew into Jacksonville 1 year and drove down to Daytona. Anyway, I've flown into Jacksonville Airport a couple times. Now that I think about it. All right. Let's get back to college football. We were talking about that earlier. Remember Nebraska, Ohio State, all of those guys, they were going to go rogue. Not anymore. The Big Ten, I think, reminded Nebraska that we pay you $55.5 million a year. You're not doing anything piped down. And so they did. And Ohio State, same thing. So here's Ryan Day, head coach of the Ohio State Buckeyes, saying not having a fall season, it stinks, but we're not going to dwell on it. We're moving on.
It is going to be very, very difficult. You know, this whole year has been difficult, but you know, we're going to stick together and work through it. And it's going to be difficult for a lot of people. There's no question. It hurts. You know, I have a range of emotions again, you know, just sad, angry, frustrated, all of the above. And I think our players do as well. But they're a mature group. I think you just really be impressed by the way that they've handled themselves. And, you know, they feel like they've had something taken away from them. But at the same time, we're really getting this thing, you know, focused on what's next. And that's why I really believe that we have to give these guys this plan moving forward on what is next. We owe it to these guys.
What is next? Well, we think it might be spring football for the Big Ten. Bob Boolsby, Big 12 commissioner, still in it to win it, still playing in the fall as of now. Says that provides some clarity, but not certainty.
I feel good about the decision going forward. I believe our board feels good about it. And I think most importantly, we have some clarity for our coaches and our student athletes. And there's a difference between clarity and certainty. I don't think we have certainty in this environment, but we have been able to get some clarity.
All right, now here's Brian Kelly, head coach of Notre Dame. Remember, they have temporarily taking up rent in the ACC. As of now, the ACC is still playing, although the presidents are meeting right now as we speak. But he is confident that Notre Dame could pull off a season safely. This was on the Today Show. See, when you're that coach of Notre Dame, you do all the interviews, not just the ESPN, but you go on the Today Show as well.
Yes, there are challenges. There are medical experts that certainly we are relying on in this very challenging environment. We have enhanced medical care. We're very intentional about what we're doing. And we believe that we can play safely and care for everybody, including our staff now. This is not just about the players. This is about, you know, I've got over 50 staff members that are put in this situation as well.
All right. Now, this is bigger. I actually wanted to dive into this a little more in the show. We didn't. We talked about it a little bit as to whether these three power threes and maybe another conference or two play, and then they have a playoff. And again, the playoff committee said they're still going to put together a Final Four in December. And as of today, that's still the plan. Would this championship be an asterisk? Would it be a question mark? Would it be a real champion? Here's Dabo Swinney.
You know, hopefully we're all able to move forward. And, you know, when it's all said and done, whoever wins it. That's the champion. I mean, it's the same way in every sport. You know, basketball got disrupted, but they're going to crown a champion. You know, golf got disrupted, but when somebody wins it, they crown a winner. When somebody's going to win the baseball, you know, MLS, soccer, you know, they're playing. Somebody's going to win a championship. So maybe it's a shortened season. Maybe it's not as many teams or whatever. But you best believe whoever wins is going to have to earn it. Ain't nobody going to give nothing to nobody. So you can only – control what you control. And we just hope we can have the opportunity to play.
What is he stapling in the background? Is he putting together flyers for recruiting? Is he, you know, COVID, you know, maybe the office assistant is not available today or something. I don't know what that noise was in the background. But anyway, Chris, would he feel the same way if the ACC presidents come out in an hour and say, yeah, we're out too, and it's just the SEC and the Big 12 and the American, and they play for a championship?
No, he won't feel the same way.
Okay. Then that makes him a hypocrite, correct? And I like Dabo. I'm not criticizing Dabo.
Yeah, but it's fine.
And don't forget.
I think he's right, by the way. What? I think if you opt out, like, we're not going to just not crown a national champion just because you decided that you didn't want to play.
But what 10 conferences aren't going to play in the fall? Is it a true?
Okay.
But you only
look,
have.
Look, yeah, 10 conferences aren't going to play. 8 of those conferences are irrelevant when talking national championship picture.
True.
So it's really like 40% of your teams aren't playing. Teams that legitimately had a shot. I'm sorry. Like UCF, if they cancel in the AAC, they don't have a legitimate shot. They don't. Okay. They can go undefeated. It doesn't matter.
Okay. Ohio State did. According to your sticky pad back there, Southern Cal did.
No, I wanted to amend that. That was a
mistake.
Mistake. Yeah, thank you. I was trying to think of a better way to word it.
And don't forget, Dabo's got it in his contract. He probably gets about $500,000 bonus if he wins a national championship. So, of course, he's going to say it's a legitimate national championship.
Come on, Tampa!
Did they just give up another
goal?
Yeah,
Blue Jackets up 3-1, 8:33 to go in the third. Just soft.
Tampa up 1-0 in the series because of the 5 overtime game the other night. Now they're tired.
Well, all right, another game tonight.
This one's going 7.
Another game tonight.
All right, so
not with these two teams, just
no. So they say the championship would be legit. All right, now here's Heather Dinich talking about the Big Ten and whether they're going to play. And if you missed it, I'm going to run down some bullet points for you here in a minute because Purdue coach Jeff Brohm had a plan that maybe people will build on or subtract or add. And this would be the most I talk about Purdue in a long time. But here's Heather Dinich. The Big Ten has no plan right now to start in January, for crying out loud, on Get Up.
Big Ten Commissioner Kevin Warren told me this week that he doesn't know what it's going to look like. He echoed the thoughts of Pac-12 Commissioner Larry Scott, which says that there's a lot of work to do. Everyone has to remember that the commissioner's focus to this point has been getting their student athletes back on campus in a safe environment to be able to get on the field to the point where they were on Friday. No one was thinking about the spring until a skinny minute ago. So they have to get together a 12-month plan that protects the student athletes in terms of going right into the next season. Big 12 Commissioner Bob Bowlsby, who's moving forward, was asked about the spring yesterday, and he said he thinks it's a viable option, but not one that they wanted to move into preemptively because there's no guarantee that the virus will be any better than it is now. And that's a major concern. We're all talking about the spring, but look, the reality is they might not get there anyway.
I like her catchphrase there, a skinny minute. You don't hear that every day. Haven't heard that in a while.
Hear hot minute more often.
You hear hot minute.
Hot minute.
Skinny minute? Does that mean the fast minute?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. By the way, Heather went to IU like I did. We didn't use that term in Bloomington. I don't recall that. But I'm not criticizing. I'm just observing. There's a difference. Real quick, regarding the Big Ten, Purdue coach Jeff Brohm has created a plan for spring football. He says, here, let's play 8 games, February 27th through April 17th, and then the postseason will be done by May 15th. I don't know what kind of postseason he's talking about. If that's bowl games, if they're going to play their own championship, or maybe the winner of the Pac-10 gets together with the Big Ten and they play their version of the Rose Bowl in May. I don't know. Then, for those who and by the way, here's a catch, because places like West Lafayette and Ann Arbor, little chilly in February 27th.
Madison's not warm.
No.
Champaign.
You could find yourself listing the entire Big Ten.
It's not warm anywhere there. It's not cold anywhere there. I mean, it's freezing.
It's beyond cold.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And he says, well, the northern teams could play southern teams first couple weeks of the season. That's not helping.
I actually had a thought on this.
Yes.
You've got two domes in the Big Ten area. You've got Indy
and Minnesota.
And Minnesota.
Right.
Could you, because remember, you're.
Bubble.
I don't even know a bubble, but could you bus in the 7 teams? You know, basically, you got 14 in the Big Ten, right?
Yeah.
7-7. You would bus in the teams, and you just have two sites, and you'd have a Saturday at noon, you'd have a Saturday at 4:30, and a Saturday at 9. and then a Sunday at those three at those times as well. That's six games at each site. That's 12 games over the course of the week, and that's plenty of time to get your games in.
Are we doing this all season or just for a few weeks?
As long as you need to, but then it brings up the problem
student
of...
student-athletes traveling away from campus.
Oh, I'm not concerned about that. I think a big part of trying to play in the spring is trying to get people in your stadium.
Okay.
And you would eliminate that.
Okay.
You'd eliminate the idea of, okay, a packed horseshoe, at least for 5 weekends, as opposed to none.
Yeah.
And if they do that model, again, I was just thinking, I'm sure there's plenty of holes in that. But you're not traveling outside of Big Ten country to get there.
Thank you, 616. I can't believe this escaped our mind. Detroit has a dome.
Detroit has a dome.
Michigan State could play at Ford Field every weekend.
So you can almost piecemeal it together where there are a few issues, but you could do it, I think, with arena availability and that sort of thing.
Okay. Now, for those that criticize, you can't play two college football seasons back-to-back within 6 months with no break. You have these kids playing 25 games in 6 months. It's not... He says, look, it's only an 8-game schedule for the spring, and then in the fall of 2021, you play 10 games, but you wait till October, and that's after a 4-week minicamp. So start your games October 2nd, play 10 games, boom. Limit practices, limit padded practices, give them a solid 3 months off. And also mid-year freshmen coming in early are eligible for his spring plan. Not a bad start for a plan. Not bad. I think there's some positive and negatives, and it's something to build on if people want to start talking. But this, let's just go play a season starting January 1 and play a full season. And
no
full
way,
season
no way
fall.
That could be done.
No, that would not happen. That would not happen. 561, does this mean you have a fall national champion and a spring national champion?
No, because we don't need to play to get our spring national champion. Just give it to Ohio State.
Wow, what are you talking about, Chris?
I'm not wrong, am I?
Probably not, but that's why we play the games.
Well, we're not playing the games.
So, but they're going to hang a national championship banner. How's that going to make Alabama or Clemson feel?
They're not winning. In what world have they won a national championship in the spring? They didn't play a single team from another conference.
In the pandemic world.
No. No.
No?
Absolutely not. You weren't voted number one in any sort of legitimate
in
college
the Craig
football
Sheeman
poll.
Spring poll.
There's no such thing.
Oh, there will be.
There's no such thing. We're going to have 26 teams playing in the spring. So what? They're all ranked except one? Everybody except...
Top 25, baby.
Everybody except Colorado is ranked. No, it'd probably be Indiana, actually.
No, we're good this year.
It's Rutgers. Let's not beat around the bush on that.
Our spring top 25 college football. Hoosiers cracking the top 10. I'm going to be excited about that. You've just opened up a whole new world to me right now.
Again, the fall teams, if we play, will have a college football playoff. There will be a winner of the college football playoff. Not those schools' fault that the Big Ten and the Pac-12 decided to close up shop a month before the season was scheduled to start, a month and a half before they could have – both conferences had the schedule worked out where they could push it back to the end of September. But they didn't decide to do that. They decided that it was too much of a liability to put student-athletes – on a field together while playing a competitive game, because putting them on a field together for a padded practice, that's okay. You can't catch coronavirus in a padded practice, but when it's game time, shoots through the roof, the likelihood of you catching this thing, right?
Yeah. I'm going to tell you something, Chris. If Indiana, let's say the ball bounces their way a few dozen times.
Yeah.
And we win some sort of natty in the spring, I'm wrapping this entire studio in crimson and white banners. National champ. If you think Central Florida was obnoxious, you wait till my Hoosiers win the spring championship.
Fine. Deal. That's a deal.
All right. That's enough for me.
Yeah, I'll lower the bar. If they come out of their side of the Big Ten.
Yeah?
Yeah. If they outdo Ohio State, Michigan, and Penn State, sure. You already got your little red wall over there.
Got a red wall.
And a white wall.
I mean, Justin Fields ain't playing ever again. There could be a watered down Ohio State in the spring.
Michigan's a constant disappointment. Actually, I've been dismissive of Penn State. I like Penn State. You know what? I like the program Penn State runs now.
Indiana has almost beaten Michigan. Almost beaten them every year since we've been together.
Yeah, and then
we're going to do it this year.
Then kickoff.
No, not then kickoff. Then the fourth quarter and sometimes overtime. Red Sox baseball, not tonight. Starting tomorrow against the Yankees.
That's right, tomorrow night.
Right here on 99.3 ESPN. From the Bronx. Coverage will start at 6:30 tomorrow. First pitch, 7:30. Get your weekend started. That's your Friday night right there. Red Sox at Southwest Florida, 99.3 ESPN. Brought to you by Naples Wealth Planning. Sheeman and Shepard, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Radio Tinder.
I bet you'd swipe right on this show. This is Sheeman and Shepard on 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Sheeman and Shepard. 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app. Who is this slow groove from?
Taylor Swift.
Swiftie.
Yeah. Welcome to New York.
This her new one? Or?
Nope. Older.
Older.
For all the parents out there whose kids watch Secret Life of Pets.
Oh, yeah?
You're welcome.
Oh. Yeah, you playing this because we had a conversation about states?
If you've noticed since we've had that, I've done it all day, actually. California Love, exes live in Texas.
You did do that.
Welcome to New York. Yeah.
Good job, Chris. Good job. Pete on vacation until Monday. Let's go to the phones at 239-337-ESPN. Randy and Benita, thanks for waiting through the break. How are you?
What's going on, man? I haven't talked to you in so long. I'm sorry. I just lost track.
Yeah, where you been? You've just been busy doing the COVID thing, huh? Just trying to avoid it.
Left Lehigh, got out of there, came down here, finally see you. I want to apologize, but, you know, once you leave Lehigh and you come to a place like this, I kind of see why all the remotes are missing the town. My God. Unbelievable. This place, I drove by the Mercado. I'm like, what is this? Everything coming out of there is a European car. I'm like, okay, I got to apologize to the fellas.
Pretty smooth down there, huh?
Man, oh, Lord, this little Ford Taurus I'm driving, I got to hide that if I ever go to the Mercado. Oh, my goodness.
Nice.
My goodness. The big lock down here is even better than Fort Myers.
That's pretty good.
How you been, guys?
Very good. Very good. What's been on your mind?
Well, I don't know. I don't know about the SEC is going to be, you know, rogue and do their thing. And I don't even know if I want to see the Gators take the field this year. My cousin and I were talking about that. Yeah. I'm not quite sure. And do you put an asterisk by it? What do you do? And Pac-12 is out. Big Ten is out. What happens? Well, talk to me.
Oh, well, I think if your Gators win, there's no talk of an asterisk. Now, if Chris's Alabama team or Dabo's Clemson team, yeah, I'm going to be going hard on the asterisks forever. But, the Gators are a local team, does well. I'm all for it. But
well, we'll see. I mean, I like I say, you know, eight SEC games and whatever the ACC decides to do and things of that nature is going to be, like, beating up on everybody every weekend. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
I just want these kids to be safe.
Well, statistically, they're more safe on the football field. That's what I don't get. They say that all the students can come back, 40,000 people on campus. That's okay, but not okay to play football, but we can still practice. And then that's what some leagues are saying. And then, the SEC's like, yeah, we're safe on the field. Let's continue playing. So the lack of consistency is what bothers me between the conferences.
Let me ask you this. Do the big time alumni around, and I'm not one of them, but I mean, you know, even if it's ACC, SEC, whoever decides to play, Big 12, mm-hmm. if you put 16,000, 10,000 people in the stadium, mm-hmm. who gets the tickets? I mean, it's probably not the common folks, right?
The boosters. You got to start with the boosters.
I'd say boosters and students. That's who I think would get the tickets.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll be calling it every day like I used to. I'm glad to talk to you fellas, and be safe, all right?
Good to have you back, Randy. Good talking to you. Thanks for calling. All right, 239-337-ESPN.
A little bit of breaking news out of the NCAA. Fearless leader Mark Emmert, ahead of everything, has said, we will cancel all fall NCAA championships, meaning the only sport that will be going on in select campuses this fall, as of now, is FBS football.
But is he canceling their championships?
He can't. He has nothing to do with the college football playoff.
No, not those. Conference championships.
He can't. He has nothing to do with the conference championships.
Really?
Those are done by the conference commissioners.
Okay. I knew he didn't for the playoffs.
Yeah, he really has nothing to do with college football.
Okay. All right.
He's in charge of college basketball. That's what he had. He's the one that basically puts on the NCAA tournament, heads everything up, and he has the power to unilaterally cancel that event.
But
anything that's conference related has to come down through the conference commissioner.
Okay. And I can't imagine us not having March Madness 2 years in a row. So,
yes.
So basically what he said today was nothing new, really.
No.
Because I already thought with that this was the case that fall championship sports would not be. I got to tell you, we're having some thunder and lightning. So did you just feel that through your feet?
Yeah.
The floor just moved.
Yeah, it was a big, big, big boom.
Wow. I've never felt that before. Like a mini earthquake with a lightning strike. So it sounds like my drive home is going to be just a dandy here on I-75.
Yeah. I like driving in a light rain.
I don't like...
Well, you don't like driving, period.
I don't like driving. I don't like driving.
See, Craig, it's a generational thing. Your generation grew up just a little bit softer than my generation.
Oh.
And, you know, getting behind the wheel of a car and, you know, driving from A to B, no matter how far away B is from A, it's not going to faze me because I'm going to overcome, I'm going to adapt, and I'm going to make it happen. It's a generational thing.
Get your sticky pad out now because, just a little reminder, for my next contract, I want a driver to and from work. That's all. It's not asking for much. We could trade it out. It's no big deal. Okay. Sure, we have many limo services here in Southwest Florida.
Who had that? Francesa had that.
Oh, most.
Big time?
Howard Stern.
Really?
And Imus had one. Yeah, all the big guys. Yeah. Drivers. I mean, you gotta make sure that you got to get them up at, you know, 4 in the morning and get there for the big morning shows. I got to get here at the crack of whatever to do an afternoon show.
Yeah, the crack of one.
Yeah. Well, coronavirus kind of altered our schedules.
Okay. Well, before it was the crack of what, 10:30?
I don't even remember. Not that early, was it? I don't remember.
Right. Yeah. No, it was 11:30, right?
I don't remember.
No, it was like 10:30, 11 when you would get in here.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Did I get in that early?
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
I'm much more accommodated to this schedule now. 239 says, yeah, Craig, it's a bleep show on 75 right now. Really awesome. Just came through here now. Okay. All right. Yeah, you showed me a picture.
It's terrible. Good thing I don't go down 75.
You don't go north? Oh, you don't ever? Okay.
Tamiami.
Yeah.
Back home.
There you go. All right. Get those roads cleared before I hit the roads in 17 minutes. What you got?
VIP.
My limo driver and I will be coming down I-75 in 17 minutes. Don't forget the all-new ESPN radio lineup on Monday. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Zubin. We've had all three of those guys on the show. Had J. Will on today. It was fantastic. Followed by Dan Lebatard from 10 to noon. Mike Greenberg, had him on the show. He was very good as well. His new show, Greeny, will be on from noon to 2. Beat our lead-in. Sheeman and Shepherd remaining steadfastly from 2 to 6 in its regular spot. And it's the all-new ESPN radio lineup debuting Monday, August 17th. Sheeman and Shepherd, 99.3 ESPN and the 99.3 ESPN app.
Time for those parting shots. It's What You Got with Sheeman and Shepherd on 99.3 ESPN. Now, it's Sheeman and Shepherd.
Yeah, Chris, in addition to a limo driver, I'm going to need an assistant to hold an umbrella over my head to walk to my car. It's coming out of buckets right now. You ever notice when you have an umbrella, the time you take to, when you open your door, you got your umbrella, but then you got to reach it out to the side to close it and then bring everything in. You get more wet doing that than just making a mad dash for it. That's what I find.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, yeah. But it's like, do you want the inside of your door to be wet or do you want to be wet? I'll go with the door.
All right.
Every time.
Could be all of the above.
Now, here's what I don't like, keeping my umbrella in my car.
Yeah. As it just sits there and drips.
Well, and it's pointless right now.
Right.
I got to run to my car, and when I get to my car, then I can have my umbrella.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Not going to do me any good. 16 years ago today, Southwest Florida, Hurricane Charlie knocked on our door and knocked over a lot of stuff.
Yeah, that was bad.
I didn't live here then, but I came here shortly after. Oh.
Yeah, forever changed the barrier islands and the waterways and everything. Yeah. Got a new pass out there, actually. Charlie's Pass.
Didn't it split in North Captiva in half or something like that? Or?
Yeah, Charlie's Pass. Yeah.
Let's see here. Also on this day in history, Satchel Paige at age 42 pitches his first major league complete game, 1948. 1989, PGA Championship, won by one Payne Stewart, his first of three majors. Mm. Always have that sad feeling in my stomach every time I see the name Payne Stewart.
Yep.
And in 2016, Michael Phelps ended his career at the Rio Olympics, part of a 4x100 medley relay. Of course, they won the gold. It was his 23rd gold medal. Yeah, we should be doing like Olympic stuff every day now. I mean, it should be going on right now in Japan.
Yeah, we should have what? Team USA should be playing?
Yeah. All that stuff. Let's see here. Birthdays. Alfred Hitchcock, 1899. 1926, it was Fidel Castro's birthday. I don't know if a lot of people are really celebrating that.
Yeah, not a happy birthday to you.
No. Sports figures. Ben Hogan, born on this day in 1912. Nine majors, Chris. Is that third? No.
Jack.
I mean, after Jack and Tiger, where's the next guy?
Yeah, he'd be next.
Okay.
I'll look it up.
1913, John Facenda. Who's that? He was the voice of NFL films. The voice of God. The frozen tundra of Lambeau Field. That guy. Another golfer, 1958, David Faraday born. Now he's a broadcaster. And in 1970, the other Elvis, Elvis Gerback from Michigan, played for the 49ers and the Chiefs.
Walter Hagen has 11.
Oh.
Ben Hogan and Gary Player are both tied for 9.
Very good. Thank you for that. Let's see here. What else we have? Oh, we lost some people on this day in history. In 1910, we lost Florence Nightingale, nurse. 1995, we lost Mickey Mantle on this day. And in 2004, Julia Child.
Julia Child. You have to stir the stew. You do not mash the stew.
Great. Well, add her to your Lou Holtz. You're starting to put a library together there of impersonations.
Old white people, apparently. That's what I can do.
Got it nailed. All right, that's pretty much it for me. In addition to it being Left-Handers Day, it was also Filet Mignon Day.
Oh, love a good filet.
Well, tomorrow...
Nice baseball cut.
We'll talk about the Filet Mignon sliders at the Boathouse in Naples Bay when we do Craig's Friday Sports Test.
Deadly. Nice aioli on there.
Nice. All right, Chris, what do you got?
All right, lock of the night. We're getting dangerously close to this going back to the pick of the night. I am 29, 22, and 2.
Whoa.
I've lost two in a row. Last night, I'm going to defend myself.
Okay.
The Heat were up on Oklahoma City big going into the fourth.
22 to be specific.
They got outscored 34-15 in the fourth quarter. Like I gave you good advice. They called off the dogs way too early.
Yeah.
So I'm going to leave basketball because meaningless bubble games suck, and we will go to baseball. Wind blowing in at Wrigley tonight.
It is.
I will take the under 8.5 Brewers at Cubbies.
All right. Take it. You know, that reminds me of baseball. I didn't get into the Joe Kelly comments.
I'm going to
save it for tomorrow.
Yeah, save
Friday.
That.
Though I want to definitely do that.
That's evergreen content right there.
Yeah.
When you call somebody punks and snitches.
Yeah, and B.I.s.
Yeah.
I like it.
Well, I was trying to steer clear of that one, but yeah.
Well, I didn't say it. I just said B.I.s. Kept it clean. Kept it clean on this show. It's what we do. It's what we try to do anyway. All right. So no baseball tonight. Spain and Company, I think.
Spain and Co.
Coming up here at the top of the hour.
Second to last Spain and Co. ever.
Okay. That'll do it for Chris, for Pete Shepard, who's not here. I'm Craig Sheeman. Thanks for listening. Good night, Fort Myers and Southwest Florida, and God bless America.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.